style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children.
You're serious?
Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. You want to throw sometime? Bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang.
Greetings, Fight fans. This is your 10th edition of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. We're broadcasting from Tijuana, Baja California Norte. In the Squared Circle, your 30-minute or less boxing recap of the last week and the upcoming fights. And just to give you a quick rundown of the Leave It in the Ring Network, here where you can get all your boxing news and all your boxing opinion on Mondays. We have at 4 p.m. Pacific time, the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. Tuesday afternoons at noon, In the Squared Circle goes live on Leave It in the Ring Network. And on Wednesdays, you have at 6 p.m. Pacific time, the flagship show, Leave It in the Ring Network, with David Duenas and Gabriel Montoya and a rotating cast of co-hosts. And then on Fridays, we have the basketball show, Full Court Press. I actually learned the name, so we have the Full Court Press on Fridays. And then every so often, whenever he gets the chance and he gets a good host, a good guest, like he did in his premiere debut show, Lenny the Fight Smith goes with the technical draw, which should be coming up pretty soon with a new episode. And just to let you know, pretty soon here on Leave It in the Ring Network of David Duenas, looking like March 10th, we're going to have a brand new show on Thursday evenings around 6 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to have yours truly, Felipe León, David Avila, the renowned legendary David Avila, and former amateur champ and pro Liz Quevedo, with a brand new show dedicated all to female boxing. We'll have more details on that coming up in the next episodes of Leave It in the Ring and here in the Squared Circle. Wait, with that said, let's go to the hooks and jabs, the new section of here, the In the Squared Circle. This week, this last week, we had Saúl El Canelo Álvarez, the current WBC middleweight champion and former welterweight champion and light welterweight champion Amir King Kong, begin and get on their press tour to promote their May 7th fight scheduled for Las Vegas, the brand new T-Mobile Arena. These guys are doing a little bit of a globe-trotting tour where they started in London, nearby where Amir Khan is from. He's from Bolton, England. Then they are in New York, and then they're going to finish it off in Los Angeles. Funny thing is, the thing that I do find interesting is why they did not make a stop in Mexico. Obviously, Canelo is a big, big Mexican star, and he's known all over Mexico, and that's where he's from. He's from Guadalajara, Jalisco, but he trains out here in San Diego, California, right across the border. And he has done a number of press tours in Mexico City, and I wonder why they didn't decide to take this one. In Mexico, the country, there isn't a big pay-per-view culture, so it's not a matter of promoting the show as far as buying the pay-per-view or selling the pay-per-view through the media, the Mexican media, to the Mexican people in Mexico, because there really isn't. There is a pay-per-view system, but there isn't a culture where they end up buying it. They actually broadcast the fight the same night, a little bit after it happens, live from pay-per-view, in this case Las Vegas. They end up broadcasting it live on Mexican open television, this time on the Azteca channel. There's only two major networks in Mexico, the Televisa and Azteca, and Saúl Canelo Álvarez for a long, long time has been part of the Televisa network, but in the last couple of fights, he switched over to Azteca, and they will be broadcasting the fight on there. But what I find a little interesting, they didn't do the tour, because a lot of Mexican people here in the United States, especially those people that do not necessarily speak fluent English, they don't get their news from your regular networks here in the United States. Even if they are in Spanish, they tend to find a way to get on the Mexican channels, the Azteca channel or the Televisa channel, and find a way to get their news through there, because it's coming straight from Mexico and they want to see what the Mexican news are saying. Even if it's like Telemundo or something like that, they'd rather get it. And a lot of times, even I remember back in the day when, you know, when we first got cable at our home here in San Diego, we actually left one TV without cable so that way we could still get the Mexican channels, because on the cable system back then you couldn't get the Mexican channels. Even now on some of these cable networks or cable providers, they do have like the Televisa channel or the Azteca channel, but they're like for America and they don't really have all the stuff that they have in the Mexican one. So a lot of people still try to find a way to watch the Mexican channel straight from Mexico. And that's why I find it very interesting that they decided not to go there, because this is the way to promote to the Mexican people, even in the United States, that they're going to be buying their pay-per-view. But I'm pretty sure that Saul is going to be doing the run of Mexican Spanish TV networks and radio stations, especially Piolín en la Mañana, who's very popular here in Southern California, and he's syndicated throughout the United States. So I'm sure he's going to be on there promoting the fight and trying to get the word out to the Mexican people here in the United States, which are going to be some of the, if not the biggest market for this fight. But I did find it interesting that they decided not to go to Mexico as far as a press tour, which might be a first for such a major fight here for Canelo, and especially when he's the A side on a traditional Americanized Mexican holiday. I don't know if you guys know this, but Cinco de Mayo really doesn't mean anything in Mexico. I mean, it is celebrated somewhat, but not to the extent that it is here in the United States. And I find it kind of interesting that, I said interesting like 10,000 times already, but I find it odd, to change the word, that Canelo, being the A side and the star of this Cinco de Mayo event, his first, where he is actually the A-side, because obviously when he fought Mayweather in September of 2014, he was the B-side, and here he's the A-side, and he is not going into Mexico. So I find that very odd. Another thing, Khan in the London press conference said that Floyd Mayweather Jr. in that aforementioned fight in September of 2014, you know, drew up the blueprint of how to beat Canelo using speed and movement, and Amir Khan feels that, you know, he needs to follow that, and he has enough skill and speed and the talent to be able to mimic Floyd Mayweather in that fight and be able to beat Saul El Canelo Alvarez.
I was wondering.
And it looks like we're nowhere near the rematch between newly crowned heavyweight champion Tyson Fury of England and Vladimir Klitschko, who he beat back in November. Actually, Tyson Fury, speaking to Sky Sports, a major network in England, says, and I quote, "I have no idea when the next fight is, and I don't know who it is going to be. I have no idea. I have no idea if it's going to be Klitschko, Fred Flintstone, or Batman." And again, he says he has no idea. So I believe that they began talks some months ago, if not some weeks ago, but to this point, they have not made anything official. You know, even to this point, Fury has been stripped of his IBF title. He ended up winning the IBF, WBA, and WBO titles in that fight against Vladimir Klitschko. And he was stripped in the beginning of the year by the IBF because he made it known that he had to do a rematch. There was a rematch clause, and they did not want that, the IBF, so they ended up stripping. As you all guys know, Charles Martin ended up winning that fight against I can't even pronounce his first name, but Glasgow. And then now he will be defending the title on April 9th against Anthony Joshua in the UK. So at this point, beginning of March, we do not have any said word between the rematch between Tyson Fury and Vladimir Klitschko. Looks like Pete Nelson is having some issues with a fight that was offered by Bob Arum, which is actually a great fight, and everybody's abuzz on the internet saying why he did not accept this fight. If you don't know who Pete Nelson is, Peter Nelson, he is the head of HBO, who was named in that position recently after Ken Hirschman announced his retirement at the end of 2015. So Peter Nelson is now the head of the HBO's boxing program, and he said no to a proposed fight by Bob Arum of Top Rank for Vasyl Lomachenko to defend against Nicholas Walters. But Bob Arum, you know, that 85, 86, almost 90-year-old man always has something up his sleeve. And it is known that he had that he went to the Super Bowl just recently with Les Moonves, the head of CBS, who is the parent company of Showtime, and that he had dinner, or it's rumored that he had dinner with the president of Showtime Sports, Steven Espinosa, among some other people recently in New York. And he's been dropping a couple hints, like at the press conference for this weekend's fight in New York, where he mentioned that he was one the first guy to bring some fights into Showtime. So he's dropping some hints, and Steven Espinosa did also, when on Twitter, he said that they were open to working with any promoter when he was asked, but he did mention that the fight had not been formally offered to Showtime. But we might be seeing this fight between Vasyl Lomachenko and Nicholas Walters on Showtime, which would be pretty interesting and a good indication that the boxing business is starting to open up, and maybe we'll get some cross work between Golden Boy Top Rank and Showtime, and maybe even, dare I say it, the PBC of Al Haymon. In a press conference this week to promote his upcoming fight scheduled for April 1st in Washington, D.C. against Ashley Theophane on Spike TV, and obviously as part of the PBC, Adrian the Problem Broner went all off on his former quote-unquote big bro, where he states that, obviously, if you guys don't know this, Ashley Theophane is promoted by Mayweather Promotions, and he is trained by Nate Jones, a gentleman that had worked with Broner in the past along with his trainer. And, you know, Broner saying, hey, you know what, I respect Ashley, I respect Nate Jones. If Nate Jones wants to call me and need something, he can. And I respect, obviously, my big bro, Floyd Mayweather. But as of right now, they're trying to beat me. So he used some colorful language that ends with duck them, but not duck. He's not ducking them. And he says that, he has to defend his turf, and he wants to defend his title. And right now, they're not going to be friends, that they're his enemy. So, you know, things got a little not heated, but Broner, you know, went off a little bit, and he started talking like a real fighter instead of being, you know, Mayweather's, you know, boy, to say it in a certain way, where he's always, you know, kowtowing to Mayweather and saying he's his big bro and he follows his example and all that, which is not a great example to follow anyways. Whereas when Mayweather hasn't really shown that he really even cares what Adrian Broner has to say. And actually, the one that set the wheels in motion for this fight was Floyd Mayweather, when he stated some months ago that he had the guy that could beat Adrian Broner, and it was Ashley Theophane. So it worked. Now they're going to be getting in the ring on April 1st, and it looks like things are starting to get a little bit under Adrian Broner's skin, or if not, at least he's turning into the Adrian Broner we love to hate. Because I remember a couple, I think it was in his during his last fight, that he even decided not to even speak to the press because he felt that his words were being misconstrued, and he actually was speaking through his assistant. I don't know if that was a whole show, which if it was, it worked out great because he got some attention. But Adrian Broner can never get the attention he needs and he deserves and what we crave, unless he's speaking for himself and letting that mouth just flow with whatever comes into his head. And that's the Adrian Broner we love to hate. So that is what's going on with that camp, and we can only expect that Floyd Mayweather and Ashley Theophane, I'm not sure if Ashley Theophane is actually going to rebuke anything that Adrian Broner said, but I'm sure Floyd Mayweather is going to get on Fight Hype and say something about what his quote-unquote little brother said just recently. And then the last note for hooks and jabs, we come back to Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. His father went on his show in Mexico. He has a show where he shares a platform with a couple other guys on ESPN in Spanish. And he actually went on there and had some strong words about his son. This past weekend, it looks like Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., who was training up in the Big Bear, California with Robert Garcia, and I guess he was doing pretty well, decided to escape, and he left the mountain, and then he posted a picture on Instagram where he was at the beach. It looked like he was running at the beach, but he wasn't in Big Bear nonetheless. And Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. went on the air on his show ESPN A Los Golpes, and, you know, basically said that he was done with his son, that he that he's very irresponsible, that he doesn't know what to do with him anymore, that he's going to keep supporting him as his father. But as far as anything else, he wasn't going to, you know, try to hide the fact that his son is not training how he should be training for this upcoming fight, which is rumored to be on April 30th against Badu Jack for the WBC super middleweight title. And that Chavez Sr. was, you know, that he that basically called his son an irresponsible, and that he doesn't really know what to do with him, and that if he's escaping the mountain, it's not to do good things, as he put it in Spanish. So it looks like Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., because of his actions, and he has his track record, you know, DUIs and coming up positive for cannabis, you know, in drug tests, you know, he has his track record. So it looks like his dad, who knows about drug addiction and knows about being irresponsible, because he did a fair share of those type of things in his career, basically is fed up with his son. And he actually said that if his son is going to continue in this manner, that maybe he should retire and he shouldn't even fight anymore. So let's see where this drama leads, and let's see if Chavez Jr. is able to get in shape for this fight against Badu Jack. And obviously, let's see if this fight is actually going to go off, which has not been announced officially. And with that, we get to the end of Hooks and Jabs, and now we go to the fight results from this weekend, which we have quite a number in our section called Decisions, Decisions, Decisions.
Veremos quién es el más macho.
Real quick, Friday, February 26th, down there in Australia, in Bankstown, Billy Dibb, the former featherweight champion who we actually had on Leave It in the Ring Network a couple of weeks ago, when he released the fact that 50 Cent owed him a bunch of money, he actually fought this last Friday. He faced a fighter from Thailand or Indonesia, it might be. His name is Sukasem Kethyongyungth, and he ended up beating him via unanimous decision in an 8-rounder. Scores were 79-73, 79-72, and 79-72 for Billy Dibb. So he's on his way back. Hopefully he finds a promoter soon and we can see him a little bit closer to the United States, or if not in the United States. On Saturday, from Germany, Ola Ofalafi lost his International Boxing Organization cruiserweight title to Marco Huck, not coming out for the 10th. Actually, he didn't come out for the 11th round of Falafi, and he ended up losing his title to Marco Huck, who was coming back from his first loss in his career. But here he looked pretty good, and he ended up beating the champion for the IBO title. So hopefully he is on his way back, hopefully to do a rematch. And in the another fight on that same card, we have who is considered the number one pound-for-pound female champion of the world, Cecilia Breakhouse. 27-0, ended up, well, actually now 28-0, defeated via unanimous decision Chris Namus, who was 21-4 now. But they were fighting for the WBC, WBA, IBF, WBO, and IBO female welterweight titles. Breakhouse got the unanimous decision with scores of 190 from all three judges, so she basically dominated the contest, and that's why she is considered the best female fighter in the world right now. And from Manchester Arena, also on Saturday, and it was broadcast by Sky Box Office, and actually deferred later in the evening and actually broadcast by Showtime, we had the unification bout in the super bantamweight division between IBF champion Carl Frampton and WBA champion Scott Quigg, both undefeated, but not after this fight, where Carl Frampton took a split decision over Scott Quigg, with two judges seeing a 115-112 for Carl Frampton, and the third judge, American Levi Martinez, inexplicably seeing it for Scott Quigg with the score of 115-113. Quigg ended up suffering a broken jaw in the fourth round from a right uppercut from Carl Frampton, but this fight was being touted as maybe this decade's version of that trilogy between Eric Morales and Marco Antonio Barrera, you know, at the super bantamweight level, and it just didn't turn out to be that. Scott Quigg was very hesitant, and obviously after that fourth round broken jaw thing, which we didn't know about until after the fight, he really didn't do much for a 7th, 8th, 9th rounds where Carl Frampton wasn't even doing that much more. But actually, he was kind of pushing the fight, using his jab and moving around, but actually just throwing punches where Scott Quigg was only throwing one punch at a time until about the 10th round when he kind of woke up and he started putting punches together and actually, you know, started winning some rounds and putting Carl Frampton at a bad spot once Carl Frampton started kind of fading away. But Carl Frampton took control again of the reins in the 12th round, ended up winning that one, and with that captured the WBA Super Bantamweight title. And now we're waiting to see if he's going to face Guillermo Rigondeaux, who is going to be fighting in England pretty soon, or if he's going to move up to featherweight and take the challenge of Leo Santa Cruz, who actually fought this weekend too. And that was here in Anaheim, California, from the Honda Center, where Leo Santa Cruz stopped former Super Bantamweight champion Kiko Martinez, who actually had been stopped by both Carl Frampton and Scott Quigg in the past. But Leo Santa Cruz stopped them in 5 rounds, completely dominated the fight. Santa Cruz had some moments in the 2nd round and the 3rd round. Santa Cruz sent him to the canvas twice in the 1st and then ended up finishing in the 5th round. In the semi-main event, a little bit of a shocker, Julio Pollito Ceja lost his Super Bantamweight WBC title, which he captured not too long ago with the knockout of Hugo Cuatito Ruiz. Well, this time Cuatito Ruiz returned the favor, stopping him in the 1st round, dropped him with a big right hand. It looks like Ceja suffered somewhat of a injury to his ankle. He ended up getting up from the knockdown, but he was, you know, pretty hurt, and then Cuatito Ruiz went for the finish and was able to finish him off and capture that WBC world title. We'll see. We'll make a 3rd fight, but obviously Ceja needs to recuperate from that ankle. Also on Saturday night, but this time from New York City on the East Coast, we had super lightweight undefeated champion, WBO world super lightweight champion Terrence Crawford stop Henry Hank Lundy in 5 rounds. You know, another domination by Crawford, switching left to right, right to left, and pretty much being too much for Hank Lundy. So, you know, I mean, just real quick, I don't know if this fight was grandfathered in before Peter Nelson took the reins of HBO, but for him to accept this fight and not accept Vasyl Lomachenko against Nicholas Walter kind of boggles the mind. But we'll see if Peter Nelson comes out with some kind of response to what's going on with that situation. Also in the semi-main event, we have, you know, Puerto Rican star or upcoming star Felix Verdejo defend his WBO Latino lightweight title against Brazilian William Silva in a 10-rounder. He took the scores 190 twice in 99-91. And with that, we finish up the results of this past weekend, and now we go to the upcoming schedule here of In the Square Circle, your 30-minute or less recap of last week's news and this week's upcoming schedule. So let's go to the upcoming schedule. Friday, March 4th, from the Belasco Theater, Golden Boy Promotions will be broadcasting on Estrella TV. This is a fight card or a fight series that's starting to get some traction out there in L.A. I went there a couple weeks ago for the Diego de la Hoya Arturo Fuerte Badillo fight, and it's a good little venue, some good fights, some cozy atmosphere, so I'm kind of starting to like it. I'm going to try to see if I could make my way up there more often. And in the main event, in a 10-rounder, we have lightweight Michael Perez taking on Mexican veteran Martin Honorio. We also have in an 8-rounder super featherweight, Cristian El Chimpa Gonzalez facing veteran David Rodela. And also we have former Olympian super bantamweight Oscar Negrete taking on Tijuana's Neftali Campos, among a couple of more fights. That's on Friday, March the 4th. From the Belasco Theater in downtown L.A. Also on Friday from Tampa, Florida, at the A La Carte Event Pavilion, former title challenger Orlando Cruz will be defending his WBO NABO super featherweight title against Romulo Coasicha in over a 10-rounder. If you remember, there's Romulo Coasicha. He's a Mexican that went 10 rounds in a scheduled 12 against Vasyl Lomachenko, and now he's going to be facing Orlando Cruz in Florida this Friday on Telemundo. Saturday, March 5th, obviously the fight that we have all been waiting for, the fight, well, actually, I've been waiting for. There's a lot of slack, people giving this fight a lot of slack, but I've been waiting for this fight where we're going to see the return of the Tijuana Tornado and super welterweight Antonio Margarito after 4.5 year absence from the ring, taking on Jorge El Maromerito Páez Jr. in a 10-rounder. And then also we have a couple more fights on the undercard. This is going to be from the Mexico City Arena, and it's going to be broadcast live on in Mexico on the Azteca channel and the United States on beIN Sports en Español. So we're going to see if Antonio Margarito has what it takes to get to the upper echelons of the boxing world like he was maybe 5-6 years ago, or if this is going to be all she wrote. This should be a pretty good contest on Saturday, so look for it in, on beIN Sports, or if you're in Mexico on the Azteca channel. Also, the competing network Televisa is going to have a WBC World Female Flyweight title between the champion Jessica Kika Chavez and Vanessa Lorena Taborda of Argentina. That's going to be on Televisa, and that's also on Saturday from the Centro Cívico de Ecatepec. And at the Ecatepec, Mexico, that's in the state of Mexico. So that's going to be also on Saturday night. We have, if you're into female boxing, you, that's going to be a good fight with the flyweight, WBC flyweight champion going at it on Televisa. Also on Saturday, HBO comes back for the second week running with heavyweight Luis Ortiz, undefeated in 24 fights, defending his interim WBA world heavyweight title against veteran Tony Thompson in a 12-rounder. We also have former champion Jesse Vargas battling it out with Saddam Ali in a 12-rounder for the vacant WBO World Welterweight title, the same title that Timothy Bradley vacated. And then I don't think this fight's going to be broadcast, but we do have an interim WBC World Featherweight title between Robinson Castellanos and Oscar Escandon in a 12-rounder. And that's from Washington, D.C., the D.C. Armory, and broadcast live on HBO. And finally, on Showtime from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, at the Sands Bethlehem Event Center, we have super welterweight Julian Williams taking on Marcelo Matano in a 12-rounder. And then we have middleweight Tony Harrison taking on Fernando Guerrero in a 10-rounder. And we also have upcoming prospect Antoine Douglas taking on Avlandil Kutsidze in a 10-rounder. And that's going to be on Showtime. So we have competing for the second week running after a big drought in February. First week in March, we have two fights, one on HBO, one on Showtime, competing against each other. So boxing is back in the month of March. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of In the Squared Circle. Like I mentioned to you in the beginning of the show, this is your 30-minute or less boxing recap of last week's news, results, and the upcoming schedule. And also, it's on the Leave It in the Ring Network, which on Mondays, we have the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya at 4 p.m. Pacific. Tuesdays, In the Squared Circle at noon, where you get all your news and notes. Wednesdays, Leave It in the Ring Network, the actual show, the flagship show, 6 p.m. Pacific, with David Duenas and Gabriel Montoya, as well as a host of rotating co-hosts. And then on Fridays, we have a basketball show called Full Court Press. And if you speak Spanish and you want to watch my other show, which is called Boxeo Tijuana TV, that is every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific, with my co-host Renzo Novara and our producer Leonzo Nunez. It's a live YouTube show where we give you shows, pictures, opinions, news, all in Spanish. You could call in. We have raffles. We have giveaways. That's Boxeo Tijuana TV every Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific. And you can find us on YouTube under Boxeo Tijuana, one word. Or you can find us in our website, boxeotijuana.com/TV, where you can watch the show at 8 p.m. every Tuesday. In Spanish, if you want to watch this there, you can call in and we could discuss boxing. And with that, I thank you for listening to the 10th edition of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León on the Leave It in the Ring Network. Until next time. Just forget the wins, it's the best to use. Won't you?
you the drummer.